From Baffin Bay to Palo Duro Canyon and Mount Locke to Davy Crockett National Forest, when government works against your liberty, Pratt on Texas will sound the alarm. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
On this primary election day, from the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, the U.S. Supreme Court last night temporarily blocked the implementation of SB 4, the issue of the state being able to issue arrest illegal crossers of the border after, of course, yesterday we reported that the Fifth Circuit stopped the original, put a stay on the original ruling out of a district court from last week, but gave a pause on their decision for 7 days for the Supreme Court to intervene. The Supreme Court did intervene last night, signaling that they may take up the case, or they've got time to look at it and decide, but right now there's a temporary stay. There's another egregious Biden program to flood the country with otherwise illegal aliens. It's been exposed. It also makes a mockery of all these cities griping about the number of people Texas has bused to them. We'll get to that. The Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. We have an anti-whip update from this morning in San Antonio. Also, more lawsuits, more wins for Attorney General Ken Paxton over Texas school districts all across this state, just wantonly breaking the law and engaging in electioneering with our money. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. One little announcement for you. Radio Inc. reporting today in 2023, so last year after all the surveys, Nielsen, they bought Arbitron that used to measure radio. They bought Arbitron years ago, and now it's all Nielsen that does the TV surveys, radio surveys, all that. Nielsen dropped the blockbuster news that AM/FM radio's total audience has overtaken television for the first time in modern history. I mean, they wrote in history, which of course is ridiculous because early on in television, it was a very small audience and radio was the thing. But it is the first time that the overall total audience for radio is now bigger than television, even though, of course, there's so many more television options out there. Days short of the first anniversary of that study, Nielsen now reveals that 3% advantage has soared as TV gets left behind. Radio now boasts a 12% larger audience than TV among 18 to 49-year-olds. This growth reflects radio's expanding influence, reaching 40% more individuals in this age group than television, and that's the weird age group advertisers like to look at. Nielsen's third quarter 23 total audience report confirms over-the-air radio remains the most widespread media in America, surpassing social media, online video, TV/internet-connected devices, and traditional TV among adults 18 and older. Particularly in that 18 to 49 demographic, AM/FM shares the top spot with social media for weekly reach, meaning reaching the most people, edging out online video and connected TV devices. With traditional television, where do they rank? Fifth in total weekly reach. And yet I keep hearing from people who think they know that, well, we're putting all our clients' ads over here on the Facebook that was, of course, out this morning all over the country and stuff like that. You just don't really know what's going on out there. All right, my friends, go ask Nielsen. They're the big gun. They do all the surveys. Sad story out of Fritch. Up in the middle of the fires, KAMR reported Fritch's fire chief, Zeb Smith, died after responding to a structure fire this morning. He was given emergency medical assistance and taken to a hospital after facing, quote, unforeseen challenges on the scene, then died from his sustained injuries, officials reported. He was appointed fire chief in 2020. Of course, he's out there out fighting the fires. They're in the middle of the big, big fires out there. Sad story there. Smokehouse Creek fire over 1 million acres, 37% contained as of this morning. 290 total personnel working the fire. Windy Deuce fire, 55% contained, over 144,000 acres. And it's located Masterson to Fritch and 195 personnel working that fire. Grapevine Creek fire, 60% contained. That's east of LaFleur's. That has 34,000 acres and is, I think, I don't know, it didn't say him. Yeah, personnel, 35 personnel on that fire. Senator Cruz has been in the panhandle assessing wildfire damage and campaigning for FEMA aid from the feds. He visited Fritch, actually. KVII reported that he was in Fritch. He met with county judges and other officials working together to get FEMA aid, disaster aid. And Cruz noted that 242 homes have been lost in Hutchinson County alone. And there's this big piece that I saw last night at the Texas Tribune. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to spend a little bit of time on it because it's important you learn to think. And I'm not going to use a buzz phrase like think critically or outside the box. Those don't mean anything. You need to just simply think about what people spoon feed you in the media. What the story is essentially a traditional leftist outlook at everything. The poor and underprivileged hit the hardest, and it's about these fires. Now, look, there's certain truth to it. Many homes burned in Texas wildfires weren't insured, creating a steep path to recovery. Big piece by Joshua Fletcher at the Texas Tribune. A lot of people have republished it today. It's Dateline Fritch. And you get down there in the third or fourth paragraph. In Texas, you know, it's always unique to Texas, all the negative things with these people. Those without insurance are also more likely to be those who have a harder time recovering from disaster, lower income households, and rural residents. And then they give a sob story, and it is a sob story. Lady lost her manufactured home, mobile home. It says she dropped her homeowner's insurance on her manufactured home about a decade ago because of rising costs. That tells you several things. It tells you that her manufactured home is quite older. And they go into this over and over about it's all so bad that several that burned down were manufactured homes. Homeowners can struggle to get insured because they're more risky and all this other stuff. Okay, first of all, let's just be frank. All those are choices individuals make. And we've all been in, most of us have been in positions where we couldn't have health insurance or something. We just couldn't afford it. Look, you need to learn to think about this stuff because it's always how bad things are, how bad it is in Texas, how unfair it is. No, you know what they never consider in that story? And I'm sure in some of these cases, it's just awful, it's terrible, but what they don't never consider. And that's why you just get spoon-fed this negative leftist victimology all the time. Oftentimes, in the case, specifically what they're talking about, it simply doesn't make financial sense to carry any kind of comprehensive insurance on a vehicle or on a manufactured home. This lady's manufactured home was quite old. She had had it a long time. It probably has almost no market value. If she carried insurance on it, its payout is not going to be a brand new mobile home. It's going to be the market value of it. I met people who still carry comprehensive insurance on a vehicle that the actual salvage, the vehicle price total is only going to be about $2,000. If they have a wreck, $2,000 to $5,000, and they're paying for comprehensive, this makes no sense at all. And they never get into this kind of stuff. You know, people make generally good judgments. Our house wasn't worth enough the kind of money it would cost to keep carrying insurance on it. And like they said, a lot of them can't get insured. You've seen the condition of many of these things, particularly in rural and poor areas. No, these people aren't particularly victims, but none of these idiots that write for the left ever understand much of anything about the real world. It simply doesn't make sense to carry insurance. The insurance costs more than the actual value would be. Well, Robert, what happens when a fire, that's the point. The insurance wouldn't have paid you off anyway. People out there think their insurance is just going to buy them a new house. They just don't understand how it works. They're going to pay you the market value unless you're paying a heck of a lot of money for some other kind of extra coverage. Market value is often it's not even enough to justify 1 year's worth payments. It's not that we're all victims. There's just different circumstances.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. Be legal and safe up and down the road. You'll be a valued customer with Allied Compliance, and they will be on call to help when you need it. Visit AlliedCompliance.com, AlliedCompliance.com, or phone 800-411-6906. Call Allied Compliance at 800-411-6906.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on this primary election day, the 5th of March. El Paso teacher charged with improper relationship with a student, reported by the Texas Scorecard. 33-year-old Ryan Anthony Avalos was arrested and charged with the crime, allegedly against an 18-year-old female he worked at, taught at the in the Isleta Independent School District. Great news, if you've been following it, they moved the battleship Texas this morning back into the water and moved to save a lot of money on docking. They now moved the battleship Texas. I've been watching those videos of the restoration and dry dock. They've moved it now to the next door, to the area next to it, a wet berth. They say it'll save a lot of money and let them, now they can do the work on the top side of the ship, replacing the wood deck, more repainting, finishing work, all this stuff that could last up to 2 years. Of course, it's been in dry dock there since 2022 at Gulf Copper Dry Dock and Rig Repair in Galveston. The battleship placed back in the water for the first time in more than a year this morning. They hope to reopen the ship to the public by the end of next year. We'll see. They're still in negotiations for where it's going to be, although pretty much a lot of the comments have been that it'll end up in Galveston this time. And my friends, we have an anti-wimp update out of the Alamo City of San Antonio from this morning. Alleged thief shot and killed by vehicle owner in San Antonio. LSG Tactical Arms, Lubbock's official anti-wimp and Second Amendment headquarters, sponsors our anti-wimp update. Shop and order online at lsgarms.com. or visit them at 2650 34th Street between University and Boston Avenues. Full-time gunsmithing in-house too, LSG Tactical Arms. San Antonio police say a 50-year-old owner of an SUV shot and killed another man who he found trying to drive off in his vehicle this morning. According to reports, the vehicle owner fired shots at the man as the alleged thief was driving away in the vehicle. Many bullet holes were observed in the windshield of the SUV after the incident. It was pretty, for you shooters, it was a pretty nice, tight grouping for a real-world, you know, under-stress experience. KSAT reported that neighbors who spoke off-camera said car burglars and car thieves have been targeting vehicles in the complex repeatedly. KSAT report said that the alleged thief exited the vehicle after being shot, ran, and then collapsed behind a nearby building, leaving a trail of blood through the apartment complex. When police found him, he had already begun the eternal dirt nap. All the better for Bexar County and all the better for Texas. It is, my friends, Election Day. There's been a review of early voting turnout around the state by the analyst Derek Ryan, and it's fairly interesting. Brad Johnson of The Texan reporting on this, and Derek had it out as well. But early voting data shows the turnout for the GOP is just massively more than the Democrats. Well, Robert, it's a Republican state. Wait. Well, you got all these big cities. Remember, you got a big Sheila Jackson Lee congressional race in Houston. You've got a huge DA race there. You've got big races in Dallas. You've got the only party that has a significant top of the ticket race, which president and then U.S. senator. It's the senator race, and it's the race for the Democrat nominee to then take on Ted Cruz, and the Democrats can't turn anybody out. GOP early vote turnout's 14% higher than it was in 2020. You don't compare to 2022. You always compare to the same type of election cycle, gubernatorial versus presidential, and that's how we do it in Texas. 14% higher than 2020, while Democrat early vote turnout is 40% lower than 4 years ago. In fact, most of the state, Dem turnout's well below 5%, with some exceptions in South Texas and the Rio Grande Valley. According to Derek Ryan, 79% of the Republican turnout is from Republicans with zero Democrat primary voting history, meaning they're actual, you know, consistently Republican voters. A total of 47,000 voters with strong or limited Democrat voting histories cast early ballots in the Republican primary. That's 3.8% of the Republican turnout. On the flip side, 25,000 voters with strong or mixed GOP voting histories cast ballots in the Democrat primary, making it almost 4.2% of Democrat turnout. And yet, so they're getting a heck of a lot of people that occasionally vote in the Republican primary, and their turnout is still abysmal and much smaller of a mixed voter turnout than the Republican turnout. Well, why is it? Yeah, so it's really bad for them. Now, why are they getting more of this? Mainly this big DA's race in Harris County and Travis County, where you've got the full-on, you know, outright George Soros leftists engaged with opponents. Ryan said 2.7 million Republicans and 2.4 million Democrat primary voters have yet to vote ahead of the election. That's the people, I guess, that normally vote in elections. So you probably did half the election to 50 to 53% as usual in early voting. In the urban versus rural breakdown, turnout in the 229 least populated counties made up 40% of all votes cast in the Republican primary, but only 14% of the votes in the Democratic primary. Not sure what it all means, but there is one thing you can take from it, and that is the Democrats have a top of the ticket race for U.S. Senate in the big cities where they are the dominant party. The big local races are Democrat races in several instances. And their turnout is just abysmal. So not much excitement into this voting cycle for Democrats. And the other interesting part was that we're 14% higher in the Republican primary than we were in the last presidential cycle in 2020. So Republicans are actually more enthused, it appears, this time around. That part to me is interesting. Don't know what it means, but it's interesting. Today in Texas History, our look at it, sponsored by our friends at Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. Use them. Siege of the Alamo was ongoing. Remember, tomorrow morning, tomorrow is the day the Alamo fell. We'll remember that here on the program. Today in 1842, so years after the victory in 1836, a Mexican force of over 500 under Rafael Vazquez invaded Texas for the first time since the Revolution. They briefly occupied San Antonio, but soon headed back to the Rio Grande. That was part of a series of raids and counter-raids in 1842 as Mexico sought to recover Texas and the Texans fought to maintain their independence successfully, I might add. Thanks to Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com. They have in-house title examiners. Thank you to them for sponsoring our look at Today in Texas History. By the way, Lubbock, we don't do the precinct conventions anymore with these vote centers on Election Day. They announced today, or I saw the post late last night or this morning, something like that, that the consolidated precinct conventions, where you're all in one place, but you're going to mix it up and, you know, go off in different groups for Lubbock County voters. That'll be held this Thursday, March 7th at the La Quinta Inn and Suites Lubbock Southwest, which is out at 6401 62nd Street. That information's in the announcements page. Also, the county convention information's listed in the announcements page at lubbockgop.org. All right, now. Oh, the Parks and Wildlife Board voted to move toward negotiations to do the land swap with SpaceX down in South Texas at Boca Chica, and the leftist activists are furious and funny, actually, if you read about them. Back in a moment.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
Pratine Texas Listener Club member Tom wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable, from the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home, made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this is the way to do it. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Learn more. Click on the dental care banner at PratineTexas.com. Building owners, architects, builders, and others who design and construct in the great state of Texas, it's about time you inform your colleagues about being Texan. In your business, that starts with this one fact that seemed to be widely known a few decades ago, but has been lost to many with the influx of new Texans. The Texas Government Code, Section 3100.055, display of the Texas flag on flagpole or flagstaff with flag of the United States, subsection B reads, if the state flag and the flag of the United States are displayed on flagpoles or flagstaffs at the same location, the flag should be displayed on flagpoles or flagstaffs of the same height. Respect Texas, our flag code, and our culture. Stop setting poles and staffs lower than the national standard flies. The Texas flag is to fly when on a separate pole at the same location at equal height to the flag of the United States. Protect Texas. Do it right, please.
We're back with more Pratt on Texas. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club at PrattOnTexas.com. Just like the show, it's free. Now, here's Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on this primary election day, the 5th of March, my friends. More illegal electioneering. The Attorney General has now sued Hutto, as I like to call him, Hutto. Makes them mad down by Austin. Hutto ISD. They're going after Hutto for using government resources for certain political policies and measures on social media accounts, et cetera, et cetera. This just continues to go on, ladies and gentlemen. And so the Attorney General continues to sue in civil court. He can't prosecute him for the crime of it, which he should be able to do, but that's because that terrible Court of Criminal Appeals opinion. But he's at least getting temporary restraining orders there. And not only that, he sued Denton and secured the injunction against Denton ISD. I like the headline at Fox 4. And Dallas judge sides with Ken Paxton in Denton ISD election lawsuit. And it just continues. Alito, we told you about yesterday, and I mentioned how people said, well, that's a conservative area. No, they're doing the same stuff. And the Texas scorecard had a write-up on it. Says, according to the lawsuit, Alito officials allowed an email from the district's communication account to be sent to a large number of recipients discussing both the budget and how the results of the primary election would affect schools. And the email had a line, your Alito public schools are on the ballot starting today. Well, no, schools aren't on the ballot. That's, as they said at the scorecard, that's rank political hyperbole. They deny that their email constitutes illegal electioneering, and they may have skirted it. Now, they've been doing it forever. Who knows? But they're just almost all involved in this. And what's going on out there? Well, Tony Kennett had a big piece at the Daily Signal from the Heritage Foundation report. Teachers' unions quietly spend millions on GOP primaries in 32 states. And there's a big section on Texas in this story. Though teachers' unions are well known for donating huge sums to Democratic candidates, a closer look at the donor data reveals that, by the way, don't think I'm over all this. It hurts a little bit still to speak. Trying to get over this illness, gosh, it knocked me down. Whew, get where all of a sudden I just can't speak. All right. A closer look at donor data reveals that the unions have spent the last 6 years quietly slipping millions into the pockets of Republican candidates for state legislatures in contested primary races. According to databases maintained by Open Secrets and Follow the Money, the largest teachers' unions in 32 states have drastically increased donations to Republican state house, assembly, and Senate candidates since 2018, donating up to $117,700 to individual candidates in a Republican primary. Now, way back in the 2012 and 2016 elections, only 12 states' teachers' unions donated to any Republican primary candidates for state legislatures. And of those, only 3 states' unions donated average sums of over $3,000 per Republican candidate. Teachers' unions are the largest donor to Democratic campaigns in the United States, with their unions and affiliated political action committees donating $55.3 million to Democratic primary and general election candidates and congressional elections in 2022. 66.5 million to Democratic primary and general congressional and presidential candidates in 2020. In 2022, teachers unions only donated $26,000 to Republican primary and general congressional candidates. So 2022, they gave $66.5 million to the lefty Democrats. They only gave $26,050 to Republicans in 2022. But in state legislative races, as opposed to congressional races, things are different. And some Republicans started getting a lot more support from teachers unions starting around 2018, especially those running in districts that typically elect Republicans to office. Let me tell you, beating the teachers unions to this goes all the way back to the 1990s, where I sat in the conversations with rhinos and others. Charles Butt of HEB started getting, he said, well, it's switching to Republicans, so what I'm going to do to keep, you know, support the unlimited march of the left and the teachers unions is he started giving to Republicans back then that opposed homeschooling and stuff like that. He was still doing it and still a big donor. You know, he's one of Stan Lambert's big donors, his PAC. He beat the unions to it years in advance by understanding that we were becoming a Republican state. So this is going on all over. For a majority of the states, the local teachers unions are affiliated with one of the two largest national unions, and that's true in Texas. You've got the National Education Association, which in Texas is the Texas State Teachers Association. That's the state union, TSTA. And every time we bring this up, we get shockingly, embarrassingly ignorant comments sent to me from teachers saying they're not a union. They don't even read their own stuff. But, you know, you're a union. If you belong to TSTEA or AFT, you're in a union. Now, if you belong to Classroom Teachers Association, it acts similarly in some ways, but it is not a union. If you're in TSTA or AFT, Texas, you're a union. AFT, Texas, they use the word union all over everything. TSTA has it all in their magazine. I just, these people that are supposedly so smart don't know that. So you got AFT, American Federation of Teachers, and NEA. Both unions have adopted a different donation strategy over the last decade. Instead of only giving money in Democrat campaigns, they're putting a little money behind the union's preferred candidates in Republican primaries. Yeah, where they don't have any, Democrats aren't controlling the state, they need to do this. This story goes into a whole bunch of examples in other states. Then it gets to the two largest Texas teachers unions, the Texas State Teachers Association and the Texas Federation of Teachers, and at least two associated PACs have spent $343,239 on Republican primaries between 2018 and 2024. And of course, that doesn't include the last part of this primary. Zef Capo, president of the Texas Federation of Teachers, urged teachers in a March 1st letter to vote for 16 Texas House Republican incumbents who have taken union donations and stood against Governor Abbott's voucher push last year. Voucher, of course, refers to school choice, that voucher that allows students to take part of the public funding that would have been spent on them in public schools and use it for private charter, homeschool, or whatever else however they want to do it. Corey DeAngelis, senior fellow at the American Federation for Children, an organization advocating for school choice, posted on X that the Texas Federation of Teachers, AFT Texas is actually what they generally go by, has endorsed 77 candidates in 2024, but has not openly endorsed any Republicans, despite contributing to a bunch of Republicans via the Defend Rural Texas PAC and Defend AFT Committee on Public Political Education. You'll find Lambert tied up with a bunch of this side of things in Abilene. In a statement to the Daily Signal, DeAngelis argued that teachers' unions aren't openly documenting their donations to Republicans because such endorsements are a kiss of death. This is true. Quote, the Texas affiliate of Randy Weingarten's teachers' union, the American Federation of Teachers, publicly endorsed a bunch of House Republicans in 2022. This year, although they made 77 public endorsements, none were Republicans. Instead, leaked evidence reveals they are supporting, quote, Republicans, end quote, in the primaries who voted against school choice in more private ways, including phone banking and funding a PAC that contributes to some of them. The radical leftist teachers union is trying to hide their support because they know their public endorsement has become the political kiss of death for Republicans. Now, you need to check Stan Lambert's PAC stuff because he's right in there with this side. They say later in the story, in some states, teachers' unions have thrown so much money into the GOP primary system, they've outspent all other Republican donors. Now, this has happened in Alabama and some places where they just realize, hey, the Republican-Democrat thing's gone for us. We got to go on the other side. Jason Bedridge at Heritage Foundation said it's obvious what's going on. The unions are terrified that parents are clamoring for more education choice, so they're going to do everything they can to stop it. Red states or even red areas of blue states, that means supporting candidates who might disagree with them on other issues, but who can be relied upon to oppose policies that expand education freedom for families. Yeah, that going on in 71 there and a whole bunch of these other West Texas state rep races, my friends. We'll be back with our big Lone Star story of the day and more border news in a moment right here on the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Save money, time, and avoid days, even weeks of stress. Don't trash a perfectly good laptop because a keyboard screen or other part like an internal battery has a problem. Jeff Barker Computer Service can fix it. No minimum charge, free estimates. Keep your computer running without the extreme hassle, risk, and expense of changing machines. Ask Jeff Barker Computer Service what it'll take to repair, restore, or upgrade your existing computer. Visit JBCS.com. JBCS.com for Jeff Barker Computer Service.
Winters Dozer Service knows you may need terraces built, ponds dug out, or water runoff routes worked to save that water and soil. And Winters Dozer Service stands ready to get the job done safely and productively. Jump on those projects now with Winters Dozer Service. Conservation, construction, and cleanup. Winters Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Texas Battery provides Texas-sized service for vehicle and equipment fleets. If you have a vehicle or equipment fleet, Texas Battery's expert knowledge and service will help keep your fleet on the road by limiting costly downtime and ensuring the right battery is in the right vehicle or machine to handle the needed loads and environmental pressures. Texas Battery Fleet Service keeps your fleet working. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Well, the Supreme Court did move on SB 4, the Texas Senate bill. We'll tell you about that in a moment. First, I want to tell you, I mentioned it yesterday. On Saturday, Texas Independence Day, Isabel and I and some friends went to the Ragtown Gospel Theater and Post. Wow, what a place. What people. Wow, fabulous. And watched the premiere showing of 33 AD, Chip Polk's newest play, and it is fantastic. I'm still, Chip, you said you hope it was raised questions for people to think about, and you know, in a good way it has. I keep thinking about parts of it. It was just fantastic, folks. I want you to experience it too. If you've never been there, go once. You'll want to go back every time. They just do, like this season is the 18th season. They're just three plays this year. So you've got one now, you got one in late summer, and then you've got a Christmas related play later. This is perfect for Easter season, this play, 33 AD. It's ragtown.com. You can get all the details. You can make reservations. Veterans and active duty military are free. It's only $22 each. Children, youth, that includes kids that are in college, if they're living with you, they're only $10 a piece. It's extraordinarily affordable. You will truly enjoy it. For that 2.5-3 hours, you're just going to, it's like Chip said on the podcast, Extra, it's everything's okay. And that's really how I felt about it afterwards. Everything was okay. And that was good. And it's nice to be involved in something that's the kind of thing that God would have us to be about, not what the world would have us to be about. And yet, it'd be fun, enjoyable, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was. And boy, Chip is a great playwright. But Glenn and Chip Polk presenting the original drama, 33 AD. Don't miss it. Ragtown.com. All shows are 3 p.m. on Saturdays, so you need to get there in Post, Texas. You can find out all the details at ragtown.com. Don't let this pass by. It's so easy to do. Lots of folks from all over the big country and all around. We ran into listeners from Texoma, from Wichita Falls, and there this time. But the people from all over the region go to these. This is the 18th season. Don't be somebody that doesn't know what's happening for the Lord in that beautiful theater. It's powerful, and it's very good. Ragtown Gospel Theater, ragtown.com. So I told you yesterday that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals put a stay on Judge Ezra's opinion of last week that stopped Texas implementation today of Senate Bill 4 that allows us to arrest people for illegally crossing the border and then has a bunch of things that allow for self-deportation and all kinds of other things related to that. Fifth Circuit said, no, we're going to set arguments and hear the case. They haven't had time to do that yet. But because they know that the White House would bring this immediately to the Supreme Court, they, in their order, put a seven-day pause for the Supreme Court to react. Last night, fairly late, the Supreme Court did issue an order temporarily blocking the implementation of SB 4 within hours of the Justice Department's request for the court to intervene. So now they'll look at it and decide whether they're going to intervene and at what level they're going to intervene. Are they going to actually hear a full case? You don't know. Court gets to decide. So right now, everything is on hold. I personally think the state should just simply continue to go forward. And when the feds and the media scream, just quote Joe Biden saying that, hey, Supreme Court said I can't forgive these student loans, and I did it anyway. It didn't stop me. He pushed us into this crisis, so just take advantage of it. That's what the left would do. Three separate arrests at the border revealed just this week human smuggling attempts where they're impersonating American citizens. Fox News has the story. A lot of other people have the story because it was put out from Customs and Border Protection. Involved three incidents at the Juarez-Lincoln Bridge in Laredo. You got a 35-year-old Mexican citizen on a commercial bus, presented U.S. birth certificates for three children, and a 30-year-old woman traveling with her. They were all got secondary inspection, found out the birth certificates were legitimate. They weren't forgeries, but they didn't belong to those people, the children or that other woman. Okay, another one on Friday. That 48-year-old Mexican citizen in a Dodge Ram presented a U.S. employment authorization card for a woman. They were sent to secondary inspection. Most people aren't, but they were. And turns out it was a legitimate card, but it didn't belong to that woman. Third incident happened Saturday. Bus passengers, 30-year-old male, was gone to secondary inspection. He had a counterfeit state of Texas ID card. The point is, the forgeries, the document mills, these were all but that last one were legitimate documents. So these things are being stolen or bought off of people. Why not? Yeah, they pay you for your birth certificates, and stupid people would do that because they don't realize what kind of, you know, problems that can create later along. And you send them to them. It's just the cartels. It's a mafia, folks. Biden secretly dumped, this is the great Paul Bedard in his famous Washington Secrets column in Washington Examiner. Biden secretly dumped 320,000, quote, inadmissible, end quote, illegal immigrants into U.S. cities. Biden has secretly flown on airplanes hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants from Latin American airports to 43 U.S. cities. That's right. They don't even have to bother to make the trek and come up and cross the border illegally. He's flying them up here. It's an unusual program kept from the public. It's involved at least 320,000 illegal immigrants. The administration admits are, quote, inadmissible, end quote, immigrants, far more than previously reported. Border Customs and Border Protections refused to identify the 43 airports it's dumping immigrants at after direct flights from Latin America. New in the investigations, the administration's claim it's keeping cities secret because it's concerned that bad actors might undermine law enforcement efforts to secure the U.S. border if they knew the volume of CBP-1 traffic processed at each port of entry. This is crazy. The scheme of letting illegal immigrants in uses this app they came up with. Again, Congress never authorized any of this stuff, but they just do it on their own. And yet the left constantly talks about that Trump was going to be the dictator. They just do all this on their own. Program is at the center of the FOIA litigation is perhaps the most enigmatic and least known of the Biden administration's uses of the CBP-1 cell phone scheduling app, even though it's responsible for almost invisibly importing by airplane 320,000 citizens with no legal right to enter the U.S. since it got underway in late 2022, said Todd Bensman, the report's author. Under these legally dubious parole programs, aliens who cannot legally enter our country use the CBP-1 app to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from those airports. The parole program allows for 2-year periods of legal status during which they are eligible for work authorization. Again, something Congress didn't. This is all insane. So they use the app, and then they pay for their own air passage to certain airports where they're expected, and CBP personnel process them and release them. And folks, as they started in this, you know, the big city are griping about Texas and blaming all the people. The Biden administration has sent over 320,000 people on direct flights who are there by their own admission, inadmissible to enter the country. They would not be able to do so at a land, you know, port of entry. But no, they let them fill out the app. Then they bring them in here and then they process them and release them and give them the ability to work. It's sickening. Tennessee is deploying some National Guard to the border, and so much for the slowdown. It always slows down in January and February, then tips back up in March. And boy, Arizona and San Diego sectors, just in 72 hours over the weekend, over 21,000 illegals coming, you know, just flooding across. And they're importing these people in by airplane to all these cities in the city. Oh, Governor Abbott's buzzing people here. I told you that this has been going on. Not just that. Hundreds of thousands paid for by these non-government organizations, these so-called charities everywhere, and some local governments. They've been busing and flying these people all over the country for years. Now, it's election day. If you hadn't voted, vote. You got till 7 p.m. We'll have a summary tomorrow, and then a lot of the show as well, though, will be also dedicated to recognizing and remembering the fall of the Alamo. Most people can't even be bothered to go vote, and yet those people went there and gave their lives in the face of an enemy they knew would overwhelm them just for the idea of liberty, the liberty we enjoy. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.